the absolute self is really like that detached, like neutrality, everything, nothing energy. It's like the unique expression of void that happens when void comes through your body. The absolute self really has no attachments, no dynamics of exchange, is just fully sovereign, fully just like chilling, enjoying life. Welcome to the True Frequency Podcast. I'm Spirit, multidimensional human being and the founder and creator of Born Awake. I created Born Awake so that other beings like me, Born Awake beings, would have a place to go, learn about the Born Awake operating system, and choose to claim their place as Born Awakes too. As we dive into each episode, our host Jesse and I will share tools, resources, and key Born Awake concepts to translate our spiritual mastery into our 3D reality and life. As a Born Awake, you're here to embody your true frequency on this plane of existence. In this podcast, we teach you how. My hope is that as you listen, you will cut through the isolation of the Born Awake experience and ground into knowing that you are not alone. There are others like you. When we claim our place as Born Awakes, we unlock not only new freedom and happiness for ourselves, but a new collective timeline for the Earth as well. I'm so excited to go on this ride with you. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and leave a review. Thanks so much for listening. All my love, Spirit. Spirit, hi.
Hi, Jess.
Hello. Exciting topic today. Yes. We're going into the soul versus the higher self versus the absolute self. And I'm excited because I just feel like this is going to clear things up so nicely and sweetly. And I just kind of want to dive in and get you to tell us the difference between the three.
Yes. Okay. So I like uncovered this through just like starting off just kind of being like, I can like vaguely feel that like that's karmic or like that's like some other density that's tied to, like if we're talking about dynamics of exchange and open attachments and these kind of things. It started off with me just kind of like having a vague sense of like, oh, that just feels like one of those like far away things. And very slowly over time, like starting to really refine my experience of just kind of these different frequencies and the different densities that they were connected to, and starting to really understand the different like rules or laws that they each operate within. So like it was a very slow like learning process of like experimentation and like trial and error, working not just with myself but also with clients for many years that really like refined this for me. So that's just kind of like a little bit of like backstory. So soul, higher self, absolute self. We have another episode that dives in deeper to just the densities, but the most fundamental thing to understand about these energies is they're essentially their identities or like selves of your totality that exist on different densities. So they're each kind of like a you or a version of you, but because they're on different densities, they have different rules that they play by or have to live by. And they're like different, like their intentions are different and their purposes are different. And the reasons that they exist as part of your totality are different. So first off, the most fundamental thing to understand is like, none of them are like more you or less you, right? Like they're all equally part of your totality. By parsing them out like this, we're just trying to give you a better understanding of how to identify where dynamics might be coming from so that you can move through them more efficiently. It's not like there's one of these that's like the best one or the one you should be in. It's like, we just want all of them to be fully sovereign, being in free exchange, like not being beholden to contracts or different things. So we can talk about these in terms of their closeness to void. So absolute self is truly just like the void self, quote unquote. So like, I actually believe that the absolute self as a thing is something that born awake beings are ushering in and bringing online as part of merging void with the human operating system. So basically, like, if you're just being your absolute self, like, you're living in your true frequency. So your absolute self is like the like you that like has an identity or like a personality, but understands that it's all just a costume and is really just like an embodiment of void in 3D. So it's the version of you that's like fully merged, where like all of the densities are essentially just collapsed and you're like in all of them and in none of them all at the same time. So like, if we were going to be like hierarchical about things, right? Like the absolute self is like kind of what we're all like striving for and aiming for, is like literally just being void embodied, like in 3D. And part of what that means is like being fully like almost like pretending to yourself that you're fully invested in like your human like identity. And the other thing about the absolute self is that it allows for the coexistence of the higher self and the soul to kind of like interplay with it. But the absolute self is really like that detached, like neutrality, everything, nothing energy. It's like the unique expression of void that happens when void comes through your body. So the absolute self really has no attachments, has no dynamics of exchange, is just fully sovereign, fully just like chilling, enjoying life. So that's that one. So then the higher self and the soul I would categorize as like 5D moving towards 6D, and then the higher self I would categorize as like 6D moving towards 7D, where absolute I would characterize as 9. And part of why I say 5 moving towards 6 and 6 moving towards 7 is because everything in this universe is expanding and growing and evolving. And so even when we talk about the densities, they're like things that used to be in one density are like expanding and growing and evolving. And so they're becoming a higher frequency. It's also just important to be aware, right, that we're defining these concepts, we're giving you this information, but also all of this is alive and changing. And if you listen to this episode in 10 years, things might be different. So ultimately, the most useful thing always is to go in, tune into void, and get a better understanding of what these different energies look like and feel like for you in your operating system, right? So just kind of like that backstory. So the energy of the soul is super tied to, so like when we think of time, the Akashic records are really like the record of all of time, everything that ever has existed or everything that will ever exist in time. And so it's non-linear in the sense that things can repeat, or you could sort of pull things forward from the past or pull things back from the future, but it's pretty linear in the sense that there is a past and a present and a future. And there's an order to things. The Akashic records are kind of that whole, the Akashic records are the entirety of time. And so this is really where karma comes from, because really karma in the purest sense is the law of cause and effect. It's the understanding that if I do this now, something else will happen after. So it's very interconnected to time because it's a before and an after. And so this is how our soul learns, evolves, and grows, is through time. things have to happen sequentially and in a given order for the soul to get what it needs out of the process. That's kind of the soul's, how the soul approaches things. The soul is very much where we get this idea of a mission or a purpose, because it's a way of creating an experience for ourselves that is linear, where there's a beginning and a middle and an end to our journey in this incarnation and in all our incarnations, right? There's a sequence. And so this is just really key and fundamental to how the soul operates. The soul is very interconnected in the human operating system to the heart. So a lot of times when we really feel something strongly in our heart center, when we feel like a strong pull to something, but it also feels familiar, or it has like that deja vu-y feeling, that's usually something to do with the soul. Anything, like I said, to do with mission or purpose is to do with the soul. Anything to do with learning is to do with the soul, because really the entire purpose of karma and the law of cause and effect is to master the law of cause and effect. It's the intention is for beings to have this understanding of when I do X, Y naturally occurs. It's really a way of understanding and experiencing yourself as creator, to understand that when you do X, Y is inevitable, right? And so all of that learning, all of that setting up an obstacle course so that you can win the obstacle course, all of that is soul energy. Anything that abides by the laws of time in any sense is soul energy. Anything to do with the Akashic records is soul energy. So when we talk about past lives, when we talk about karmic contracts, twin flames, like I said, anything to do with mission purpose, all of that is soul. And so then when you go to the higher self, right, that's one density, higher frequency. And so higher self is outside of time. So higher self does not have to abide by the laws of time and the before and after, like sequential linear nature that the soul has to abide by. The higher self has the potential to rewrite all of that at will. The higher self, though, because it is not totally void the way that the absolute self is, but it's this 6 into 7 energy. Part of that frequency is that it's very dissociated and detached from the reality of 3D life. It's kind of like once you expand beyond time in that way, you get really disconnected from the realities of existing in a body where the law of cause and effect applies, right? And so there's this way in which the higher self often sets up contracts or plans that really do not like honor or tend to the human experience or the human operating system. It's like, it's a very like detached, unemotional energy. A lot of like AI and alien stuff is on this same density, sacred geometry, right? All of this stuff that's very like, this is just the law, and it's like, it's a shape and it's just true. You can see, right, how that's more, in a sense, more like always true than something that has to do with time, right? There's a way in which sacred geometry always applies in a way that something that the soul is playing out doesn't always apply. It's not a full law in the same way, but still but the higher self isn't considering just what it means to be a human being. And so it's very harsh. It's very like, this is just the fact and deal with it and get on board. And it can set very unreasonable, unrealistic timelines and time frames for people. It can set things up in really painful ways just because those ways are the most efficient. So like, it's really big on efficiency. It's big on like collapsing time and speeding things up. it is really tapped into like I am creator point blank period, right? Like it's super tapped into that energy and into like sovereignty. That's definitely something, you know, that we can really benefit from with the higher self. But again, it's often this energy of like, I'm creator. So like all of this is an illusion. So like, I don't have to opt in. Like it can be very spiritual bypassy. Whereas absolute self is void. So absolute self is really just pure beingness. Like it's really just a state of being, of just void as a state of being. It's not beholden to space. It's not beholden to time. Like it's not beholden to anything. It's just pure beingness. And then it's being embodied in that, like in this incarnation. So those are, did that feel pretty clear? Are there like follow-up questions?
Like so clear, spirit.
Okay.
Follow-up questions. Look, I don't think about that. No, I think that's just so clear and concise. I feel like I'm curious about like the harmony of how the three coexist. Would you say that like there's like work to do for Born Awakes to like harmonize these three aspects? Like, is that kind of always the case as you see it? Or is there, I don't know, like, I guess everyone's having a very unique experience, but like, is there something about the harmony of the three that feels kind of like a thing that is only true for Born Awakes that you could bring in here? Or
I mean, awakening beings have, if they're at void, they would have all three. If they're still like actively seeking and they haven't gotten to void yet even, then they would just have the soul and the higher self. But I wouldn't really say, there's so much something unique for Born Awakes about like the harmony of all three. I think it's just kind of, when you think of all three, of course, the way that you want them to sort of interplay is going to depend on just the experience that you're wanting in this incarnation. But like for me, because I'm really desiring the experience of being a full embodiment of void on this plane. And like, I just want to be in my true frequency and just have the life that I desire fall into place as a result of that. Like for me, I almost just need to be in that absolute self energy and then be actively closing out contracts to do with the higher self or the soul and pulling forward the associated masteries so that I can more and more deeply embody absolute self. So I think any Born Awake that's desiring that, which is, if you're new to this work, you might not be sure yet, like whether you want that or not, or even what that means. And so that's okay, right? But maybe if you've been a portal member for a while, or you sort of know about this work more, you've been experimenting with it more, and that does sound like the reality that you're desiring to experience is literally just being a full embodiment of your true frequency on this plane, being a full embodiment of void on this plane, and like everything just falling into place and rearranging itself in response to that in your 3D reality, like then you're going to want to be upgrading past the soul and past higher self to absolute self.
Speaking about these topics, it's just like, I'm really having this experience of, it's just such a, like a case closed. Like I feel like I have no questions in a sense. It's just like, it's just very factual, which feels really nice to receive. But I guess I want to look at, I think you've given such a clear indication of the difference. So I feel like even that question is like being answered. But when we're looking at different dynamics of exchange and how those relate to these different aspects of self across different densities, maybe we can take a look at how to identify which one it's connected to.
Yeah, that feels really good. I think we can even just give some more like examples of each. So like one of the most important things here that I don't know how much we've really talked about yet. I think it might be something we're talking about more in future episodes, but the really important thing to understand is that any dynamic of exchange, any open attachment, it's a place where there's a mastery that wants to become integrated into your reality and lived experience in this incarnation. So what I want to just kind of highlight here is, like, with these soul contracts and higher self contracts especially, it can feel really gnarly because we're so aware of the mastery that comes as a result of operating in the way that the soul wants to operate or the higher self wants to operate. And so with these contracts and dynamics of exchange, there tends to be this feeling of like, but if I stop doing that, I lose access to that key. Like, there's a real knowing of like the keys, and that's just what I use so often to describe masteries, right? But it's like these keys are like these gold tokens or coins of like having reached like the finish line. You know what I mean? Where it can just really feel like playing by the soul's rules or playing by the higher self's rules are the only way to have access to those keys or those masteries. So like, just kind of as a blanket thing, it's like anywhere that feels true, there's some sort of contract or dynamic of exchange that like could be upgraded to sovereignty, could be upgraded to, I just have that key and I can use it however I want. And I don't have to use it through the density or the plane of existence that I learned it on, right? So much of what just this work is about moving things from the density that we're used to playing them out on to that void energy, so that we're truly sovereign in how we're interacting with it. And so that's what you do every time you do a completion, every time you do a portal activation, is you take a dynamic of exchange that's existing on some density and you say, okay, I got the key that I needed from this. I'm going to close this out and I'm going to take it and the key to void, purify everything, upgrade the key to void, and then bring it forward into my operating system so that the key is no longer like a density key. It's a void key, right? And so that's what is so unique about my work, right? The Born Awake work is upgrading things to void before you integrate them. So some examples of soul things, like I said, really anything to do with a mission or a purpose. Anything that feels historical, right? Anything that has that like cyclical feeling of like, I've been here before. I've done this before. This feels familiar. I know this person. We're here to remind ourselves of da 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 da, whatever thing again that we did that other time, right? Like, one of the things that is the most challenging about soul contracts when you first start encountering them is that we used to literally spend a whole lifetime on one soul contract.
That's wild. Like,
that's what we're used to, you okay. know? So it's like when people first encounter this idea of like, you could just close that out and that's just done. It's like, feels so overwhelming to the system because that used to take an entire lifetime. How could you just be done with it in 30 minutes, right? Like, what the literal fuck? So like, there's a way in which the pace that's now available to us is like kind of incomprehensible to the soul. And the soul hasn't, when you're starting this work, it's like, okay, you're doing this work to close these contracts and be sovereign. But then what you have to understand is that you're literally upgrading your soul at the same time. So like over time, as you do that work, your soul is going to have an easier and easier time moving through stuff rapidly, letting go of stuff, accepting that the learning is done, receiving the mastery, owning it, right? So like, it's like, that's not necessarily your intention behind why you're doing it, but that's like, but your soul receives the benefit of it too. But so it's like, basically when you first start, things that are soul contracts are going to feel like, they're going to feel like, but that's who I am. Like, I'm that person, or like, but I always do that. Like, I always serve people in that way, especially at the beginning, until you start realizing that like you have like 75 open contracts of what you always do that are all like completely different because you're born awake. So you're a master. So you've been here so many times, right? Like, it's just like, you can't even begin to imagine when you start this work, the totality of who and what you are. And I think, I don't know, that's part of the magic of it, is just more and more being like, holy shit, like, I'm amazing. Like, what? Like, so the soul, you know, it'll be things like, you know, all the lifetimes where you got burned at the stake as a witch, or like the 20 times that you've incarnated with that one soulmate, and each time one of you cheats on the other one, and you keep taking turns cheating on the other one, and then the next lifetime the other one cheats on the other one, and then you keep switching back and forth of who's the cheater and who's the cheaty, and really you're just trying to learn like unconditional love and forgiveness, but you just haven't figured out that like you already learned it. And so you just keep doing the thing again and again and again. And so there can be this real coziness to soul contracts that makes them really hard to let go, because they just feel familiar and they feel cozy and they feel like, this is who I know myself to be and I know how to do this, and it just feels good, right? And so part of that is recognizing, how can I unlock the masteries of this idea I have of who I am, so that I can pull forward those threads of who I am that feel like I want to take them with me without this pattern, right? Like, how can I bring forward the deep capacity I have for forgiveness without having to keep being cheated on? Hello, Born Awakes, Spirit here. If listening to today's episode has sparked your curiosity in my work and you're ready to dive in, you can head to bornawake.world to sign up for the portal. Membership is only $9.99 a month, and you can cancel anytime without penalty. If you're not sure about the portal yet, but you have a question, you can always feel free to submit them on our website, bornawake.world. We review all submissions. Thanks for listening. Without further ado, let's get back to today's episode. So those are like the soul contracts. And then there can be a lot of stuff to do with mission and purpose, where it's really like, again, this like heart-centered feeling of just really like a promise that you made to a group of people or a group of multidimensional beings or a place, a land, right? A planet that you really care about. And there was really deep, you know, love and transformation that came through that, where it's like, who would I be? What would it mean if I didn't still have that obligation to that group of people, right? And so, again, it's bit by bit pulling forward the masteries, closing out, this is how I get that mastery, or I have to do this to be connected to that place or that group of people. And it's a slow bit by bit thing. And so the more you do this, the less you're going to be concerned with finding your purpose, the less you're going to care about like finding your path or like the way that's right for you, you know? I think like anytime as a born awake, you find yourself really obsessing of like, what's my path, or like, what am I here to do? Like, that is kind of coming from a soul place. Of thinking that soul level awareness is void level, and it's not, you know? And so just getting comfortable with, okay, it's not that I'm throwing this energy away, but like, it's not actually the most neutral or the most sovereign or the most compatible with the desires that I have for myself in this incarnation. So that's like the soul level. And then for higher self ones, like I said, a lot of these have to do with efficiency and almost like harshness and being an island. So like a lot of these will sort of be like spiritual bypassy energies, places where you feel like you have to disconnect or shut down or dissociate in order to get where you want to go. Places where you feel like some version of transcendence or something like transcendence, some type of like split or separation between your human experience and your multidimensionality is needed. That's really like the higher self contract. And then also like a kind of over dependence or over reliance on the third eye is very much a higher self energy. When you're obsessed with seeing things and like vision and visioning things into existence, and almost like looking at all these different potentials or being like, I'm just going to keep envisioning this thing until it's my life. But like at an expense of the body or at an expense of what your day-to-day life is like right now, where it's like not being done in an integrated way. Those are all higher self things. Yeah, higher self is very reliant on third eye and, you know, the mind. I would also say a lot of what kind of like mainstream spiritual people describe as ego, I would characterize that as higher self. Like any place where the mind kind of starts to get super loud and like tries to take control, those can sort of be higher self places. Cause it's almost like this idea, the higher self is very much like there's this ideal version of you and you're constantly trying to close the gap between that and where you are now. And that's kind of, because the technology of it is the technology of collapsing time, that's how it does it. But ultimately, a lot of times it backfires, right, for the human operating system. So like anytime that you're sort of in an energy of feeling like you're not moving fast enough or you're behind or you seem to create like a way that this manifested for a long time for me is like I would, you know, because the higher self a lot of times is where our ability to manifest lives, because we're so clear in that energy that we are source, point blank period. And so if you're really tapped into higher self, you really can just be like, yeah, I'm source. I want this. Boom. And it can feel really like magical and kind of addictive, but what I did for a long time is like, it's almost like my higher self would get me to create things before I was actually like physically or humanly ready for them. And so I would create these things and like, it was almost like having them in my life was the thing that forced me to move through the last stage of work in order to actually be ready for them. Now that's just like super destabilizing and unpleasant and like constantly feels like you're behind. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not fun. And then you're proving to yourself all the time that you are source creator, but then you never actually get to enjoy it because you're like, oh shit, I'm source. I manifested this thing, but like my human system like isn't ready. So it also creates this feeling of like sort of like discord and like frustration with the human self of like just wanting it to keep up. And even the way that people describe the ego or the mind, it's like in this very like judgmental, like derogatory way, instead of just being like, oh, that's part of like my coping mechanism, right? Like I just feel like the higher self is sort of like a coping mechanism in some ways that's like it's on its way out. I feel in some ways.
Are you kind of suggesting that? Always. Are you kind of offering that it's kind of going to be a bit defunct?
Yeah, like I feel like for Born Awakes, it's more the absolute self, and it's kind of like the absolute self kind of like replaces that the like higher self. But
Totally.
again, that's only if you like close out the contracts to the higher self that you have, you know, that you have open, which is really like if we're talking about how closing out contracts is really about unlocking the key or the mastery in it and parsing that out from the dynamic that you created in the past to learn it, right? Like, then, like, higher self is super tied up currently in our definition of what it means to be source creator. And so that's really where the parsing out is like, what does it mean to own your creatorhood without going into this like detached sacrifice the body, sacrifice the human experience, like way of operating that's just like cold and calculated. But again, sometimes that energy is super necessary, you know, because higher self is also really connected to being able to assess both our individual timing and the collective timing. And so, because it's outside of time, right? So it's not beholden to time. So it can see all of it so clearly. It can see all of the potentials. It can see how stuff can change, like all of this. And so it's very useful to have access to that. Like regardless of like the 3D experience that you're wanting. Do you know what I mean? It's really helpful to be able to assess
Yes.
those things as long as you understand that they're like flexible and changing all the time. And you're not like, oh, okay, I saw XYZ thing. So now I have to like change my entire game plan for my month and like force myself to accelerate because I saw blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Really cool. I'm enjoying this one so much. I feel like it's really clarifying. And I feel like what it really does is that it gives us real insight into you get to choose what you sign, like what you say yes to. Like you get to,
Yeah.
like if this, I feel like this episode could be really useful, not just for identifying these different aspects of self internally, but also being able to identify where someone's at, where someone that you're relating with is at, and to really have like a deeper understanding about the experience that they're desiring to have. And I think it could be really clarifying in that way. 'Cause like, I think like certainly for me, like a big part of, getting to know what my absolute self was like was being willing to correct that feeling inwardly that there were things I had to do with others. Like it has to, like on the soul level, it's like, I have to do this with that person because I said I would, or like, this is just so clear and it's making so much crystal clear sense that like, it has to be true. Like I can really see how like, it like, leading with the soul has like a really certain feel to it. And then the higher self too. And I'm kind of feeling like it's going to be like a bit light bulby, just kind of like experiencing these differences in the way that you're telling them, because
Yeah.
it paints such a, for me at least, like it's painting such a visceral explanation of these three different aspects of self, and I'm loving that.
Yeah, I also think, you know, like, and that we were kind of talking about this a very little bit at the beginning, but like, you know, it's sort of like we're giving you this context so that you can start playing around with it and just like increasing sort of your awareness, right? But like, really, for me, this took years. Like, it was years of refinement where, really, at the beginning, all of these just felt like, oh, that's kind of like that zoomed out, like higher level thing, or like, oh, that's just kind of like the part of me that's like more intuitive. Like, they all felt really murky and really like just kind of like one thing because it was just like super
Yeah.
vague. You know, for me now, because this has been my like life's work for so many years, not just on myself, but like with so many students and so many clients at this point, it's like literally within 5 seconds of someone talking, I'm like, oh, that's that, right? But it's like that took so long and so much curiosity, honestly, so much willingness to just be curious, be like, okay, so like, what's that about, right? And really like taking the time to just go sit in void and be like, like you were just saying, like, what is like the feeling? How does this energy feel? Right. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of times that is the most like obvious sort of indication, you know. I mean, yes, for me now, there's definitely like, if someone's talking, there are like sort of patterns of phrases or ways that mm-hmm. they talk about things that very clearly clock to me where something's coming from. But again, I don't necessarily know that that's really like a skill that the average person needs. Like, I think just building that visceral sense of like, how do these different frequencies feel?
Yeah.
Is going to be plenty. And I also loved how you were talking about just how this shifts things in relationship. Because I think that's so true. And I think, you know, one of the most confusing things for Born Awakes, I think, is having this experience that not only do we perhaps not know how to articulate, right? I think a big part of my intention in creating Born Awake and in talking about all of this is to really give Born Awakes a language to even like, express just what they're feeling and living. So there's that, right? But like having that coupled with the fact that like your like awakening type friends have no like concept of what you're experiencing, like because they just don't have that experience, right? It can be really confusing without this information. You know, for me, so often, I think especially with soul or higher self stuff, it's like if I had sort of like a friend who I could just feel they were kind of like stuck in something with one of these, it was like I never knew before. This would be like in my late teens or early 20s. I wouldn't have known. It's like so often as Born Awakes, I feel like we just have this feeling of like, that just feels off. Or like, I don't know. It just feels like they're not owning why they're creating that thing. Or like, I just feel like they're purposely like not seeing the thing, right? Like, I feel like Born Awakes feel that way about people in their life, like constantly. And like, I feel like this just gives so much more context to those moments of just like, oh, okay, what I'm feeling is X. So like, that's fine. I don't even need to like talk about it with them. But like, also my gut instinct is valid that like, even though that like sounds like the correct, like spiritual thing to be saying, I can just feel they're really like giving their power away. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's so often the feeling.
Absolutely. Just kind of feeling to like share that, you know, one of these kind of like really common Born Awake pain points that I often find Born Awake speaking to me about. So it's really this thing that like, if I'm like willing to accept that I could choose to opt out of anything, like how does that, doesn't that just create the whole being an island piece that you were speaking about before, about being at that higher self kind of frequency bandwidth? Like, doesn't that just create an island? What I'm kind of learning as I meet more Born Awakes is that it's very difficult to see what the outcome's going to be. So I do just kind of feel to say, like, the outcome is, you know, you receive future codes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's spot on. And it really is like, it's like before you can be compatible to like receive that stuff, you have to have emptied all this old shit out of your operating system. And so I would say the soul more so than the higher self, but both in their own ways are very tied to identity. So like, it really is this deep shedding of like who we have defined ourselves as being, where we have to get so comfortable being like, I'm kind of nobody, you know, and like,
yes.
But in this like goofy way where it's like,
Oh, well,
I totally like have like a personality and like preferences, right? Like it's like, it's not like I've like transcended and I'm nothing, but it's just like, I understand that like all of it is just kind of like this like outfit that I'm putting on. And so there's always kind of like this detachment that exists with it, but it can just feel really scary or overwhelming to live in that place because it's almost like you have to just give up any outfit before you get to pick your outfit. Like you have to like get rid of all your old outfits and then you're just kind of like standing there naked in the void before you like get to decide what your new outfit is.
I love this. It's so true. And like for me, I always know that I'm having one of those moments, and this is just silly, but it's also just so true for me. Whenever I get to one of those periods where I've discreated so much that I'm empty, one of the first desires that creeps in is to buy a new outfit because I really, I'm just like, oh yeah, that's right. Like sure, I've been empty. But now like this is the fun part where I get to like finesse my avatar again to like the next degree.
Totally. And I think this is, again, why I'm so glad you brought up like these dynamics in relationship, because I think, you know, this is why like this, we are making this podcast is like, because like, hopefully if you're born awake and you're listening to this, like this gives you permission to operate that way where you're kind of like aware that you're picking your avatar and that you can change outfits anytime. And like, you can kind of lean into the playfulness and the fun of that instead of getting tripped up and being like, wait, all of my friends like really believe that they are their avatar. Like, and then feeling like afraid to lean into your playfulness because it also feels lonely, right? So it's like this whole brand is to like minimize the loneliness of doing things in this way so that it can feel like the fun, playful, you know, adventure that it's meant to be.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of True Frequency Podcast. If you're ready to step into your mastery and stop creating shit you hate, go to bornawake.world and have a look at the portal. The portal is our library of activations, teachings, and Q&A designed specifically for the Born Awake operating system. Membership is $9.99 a month, and you can cancel any time without penalty. If you're not ready for the portal yet, but you have a question, you can always submit them on bornawake.world. We love answering your questions, so don't be shy. If you enjoyed this episode, we hope that you'll share it with friends and other Born Awakes, and consider leaving a review. Thank you. Until next time.